Morning watch, fighting the good fight, finishing the course, keeping the faith, and loving the Lord's appearing in order to receive the reward of Christ as a crown of righteousness. Week 5, receiving the kingdom reward of Christ as a crown of righteousness. Monday, related verses, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 7 through 8. I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Verses 7 through 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day, and not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Matthew 24, verses 45 through 46. Who then is the faithful and prudent slave, whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Revelations 22, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to render to each one as his work is. Acts 26, verse 16. But rise up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a minister and a witness both of the things in which you have seen me and of the things in which I will appear to you. Related reading. This word in 2 Timothy 4 verse 1 proves that in his life and work, Paul took the Lord's appearing and his kingdom as incentive and goal. The Lord's appearing will be for judgment to reward each one of us, and his kingdom will be for his reigning with his overcomers. The apostle not only took these two matters as the incentive and goal for himself, but also by these two matters charged Timothy, who was under his leading, to faithfully fulfill his ministry of the word. The Lord's appearing, his coming back, is a warning, an encouragement, and an incentive to us. We should love it and look forward to it with earnest expectation and joy. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, Paul says that in the last days, difficult times will come. The Greek for difficult times also means hard times, grievous times, perilous times. In verse 12, Paul says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. For those who pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, and who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart, this time will indeed be difficult, grievous, perilous. Here Paul seems to be saying, Timothy, I am encouraged by the fact that the firm foundation of God stands, and that with others you can pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, and call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You can stand together and dispense the inoculation against the decline of the church. Some may even be recovered to the full knowledge of the truth and to the will of God. Nevertheless, I want you to know that the time that is coming will be very difficult for you. This time will be grievous, perilous for all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart and who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. In verse 2, Paul goes on to say, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." The prophetic picture presented in verses 2 through 5 portrays not the evil condition of the non-Christian society, but the corrupted situation of the great house mentioned in 2 verse 20, degraded Christianity. This is proved by the phrase, having an outward form of godliness. Unbelievers do not have even the form of godliness. Those who have such a form are those who are called Christians. The first thing Paul says about these men is that they will be lovers of self. Many Christians today are self-lovers. Not only those who indulge in worldly entertainments are selfish, even those who attend the chapels and cathedrals may be selfish. In 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, 7 kinds of lovers are mentioned: lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, lovers of God, lovers of good, lovers of husbands, and lovers of children. Also, 2 kinds of non-lovers are mentioned: non-lovers of good and non-lovers of God. Whatever one loves, his whole heart, even his entire being, is set on and occupied and possessed by. This is crucial. Whether there would be a day of glory and the church's victory or grievous days of the church's decline depends altogether on what we set our heart upon and what it is we love. History tells us that the root of the church's decline was the loss of her first love toward the Lord. To maintain the victorious stand of the church, we must be lovers of God and lovers of the good that pertains to God's economy.